Welcome to the Heartland Worship Center podcast, an audio experience to help you grow in your relationship with God. Visit us at hwcagra.com for more great content.
Amen. Well, I have been anticipating this month for a long time. September is Vision Month at HWC, and we are so thankful for everybody coming out today and getting ready to hear what God is going to be doing. And I cannot begin to tell you how excited I am for what the Lord has in store for us this next year. And this month of September, we have dedicated to talking about those things. We are going to dream big, amen, as a church. We are going to talk about it. We're going to dream about it. We are going to pray about it. And then we are going to do something about it, amen? Because if God gives us a vision, church, we ought to take the steps to carry out said vision, amen? And so welcome to Vision Month. Again, so excited that everybody is here today as we get ready to dive in to what he would have in store for us. But again, the premise behind what we are wanting to remember is when God speaks, we listen. Amen? A few of us, anyway. When God speaks, we listen. Amen? And as we have been kind of setting the stage up, as we've been talking about the first church, as that series will continue once we get on the other side of Vision Month, one of the things we were establishing is, as the church, is that we have made a commitment to go where God tells us to go, to move as the Spirit leads us to move. Today is a short introduction to what is to come in the next several weeks. Today, in fact, you might call it a celebration day. Here in a moment, we're going to be talking about some awesome things that God has been doing here at HWC, things that I want you to be aware of. It's a day where we look at what God has been doing, and at the end of this thing, we've got the baptistry tank full. There are several candidates who have decided that today they want to make a public profession of their faith. They want to make that declaration, I love Jesus with all my heart, and I am willing to follow him all the days of my life. Amen. What an awesome, awesome thing today. We are glad and we rejoice for our rich church history. And I am thankful for what God has done that has led us to where we are today. I'm thankful for the ministries here at Heartland Worship Center. I'm thankful for the facilities. I'm thankful for the members. I'm thankful for everything that is going on. And I want us to understand today, each is a result of following the Lord's vision for this church. About a decade back, a little bit more than that, there was a vision of uniting two churches. Amen? Pleasant Green, Kensington Assembly. A vision that was carried out. We're here today. Several years back, there was a vision to start a Royal Rangers and a girls ministry program on Wednesday nights that is now in its 26th year of operation. A vision that started a bus ministry. And we're going to talk about the results of that bus ministry here in a moment. A vision of a bus ministry that has been carried out by not only coordinators, but people who are willing to drive the buses and ride on the buses. And I can tell you right now, when you pick up a bus full of kids who have sat in the classroom all day during school and they have all this energy welled up, listen, friends, it can be a little bit of a challenge, but praise God for the men and women who have decided to accept that challenge and to go get those kids. All that we have in place today, everything that you see around us, every one of our ministries, our Sunday school, our men's ministry, our women's ministry, every one of these things, the worship team, our sound and video techs, these are all the result of a vision that God has placed upon this church that is being carried out. And it is so important this morning, church, that we recognize that, because as God has brought us to where we are now, I also believe God has a vision for where he wants us to go tomorrow. Amen. This is great, don't get me wrong. Hello? This is wonderful. But I have to believe that even as good as these days are, the best is yet to come. Do you believe that this morning? The best is yet to come. The video that we showed just a moment ago opened with Isaiah 43:19 that says, "Behold, I am doing a new thing." What does this word, I want to break this down. What does this word "behold" mean? It means to see or to observe, to take notice of. In context, when we look at this passage today, in context, the Israelites were in a position of captivity. That's not a very happy place to be. They're under the rule of the Babylonians. They had invaded and scattered the people. In fact, they had driven the Israelites from their homeland. They were in places around the empire. And Isaiah 43, the entire chapter, is a chapter that reveals that God is about to rescue his people from Babylon. He was about to deliver them in a mighty way. Now imagine being a people under captivity and receiving news from God that says, "Behold, I'm getting ready to do something new." Do you think that gets your attention? Verse 19 speaks of that new thing that God was about to do, and he wanted his people to see it, to behold it. This new thing that was on the way was a time of blessing. It was a time of forgiveness and a time of restoration of God's presence. And such would cause the people to give all praise to God. How many know that God alone is worthy of all praise and honor today? And I say this morning to lead us into this area, to get ready, for God is getting ready to do a new thing. I'm thankful today that we do not live under the rule of the Babylonian Empire. Amen. Hello? Yes. We are not captives today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, one or two of us are saying, aren't you glad that we are not captives today? So our context is a little bit different than what the Israelites were facing. But I want you to see this. I am thankful today that we're not displaced from our homes, that we aren't persecuted for our faith. However, church, listen to me. We live in a world that is covered in darkness, that has been invaded by corruption and deception. It is a world in desperate need of God's deliverance. Amen. And God has sent his ultimate deliverer to this world. His name is Jesus. And he came that all would have the opportunity to experience a renewing much like that is spoken in Isaiah 43. Listen to me, church. Our world needs new blessing. This extends far beyond, hear me today, far beyond just a material blessing. How many know the blessing goes way beyond just being blessed with like a new car or something that we might need, a new refrigerator? I mean, those are great blessings and all, but listen, the greatest blessings in my life aren't material. Amen. Hallelujah. Our world needs a new blessing that can only come from God. In fact, I would even say this, even if I find my position or find myself in a position where I have nothing, as long as I have Jesus, I am blessed. Secondly, our world needs forgiveness. Sin has been embraced. God has been rejected, and the world needs to repent. We need the forgiveness that can only come through Jesus Christ. Thirdly, our world needs the presence of Almighty God. The separation from his presence has allowed for the enemy to move in. I want us to understand God never moved out, but his love has never failed. But the embracing of sin has created a gap in the fellowship with God. Why? Because light cannot have any association with darkness. That was the problem that was presented in the Garden of Eden after Adam and Eve had sinned, after they had disobeyed God's command. God had come into the garden. It is the most tragic part of the book of Genesis as God has come to the garden to fellowship with Adam and Eve. Instead of running to his arms, instead of going to their father and enjoying his presence, they hid from God because of their shame, because of their nakedness, because of their shame. And God's heart in that moment, I believe, was broken as he called out, "Why are you hiding from me? Who told you of this condition?" And it's made clear that sin had entered the camp. I want to be clear, sin has a separation effect in that it separates us from the fellowship of the Father. However, I want us to also understand something very true this morning, that nothing can separate us from His love. Amen. And that is important. Why? Because Romans reveals to us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It also makes clear in that passage that that was an ultimate demonstration of God's love for us. God's love was demonstrated in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God didn't leave us. He didn't forsake us. He didn't abandon us. He didn't look at us and say, "You dirty, rotten sinners, I'm going to leave you right there where you are. You put yourself in that hole, you can perish in that hole." That's not what He did, hallelujah. Instead, He gave His Son, His one and only Son, to walk the hill of Calvary, to give His life on that cross that we might be forgiven, that we might be set free. And it is a message that most of us here today have listened to it and have accepted, but our world is in need of being reconnected to the presence of Almighty God. That connection comes through Jesus Christ, His Son. This is the new thing I believe God is wanting to do in His church, in this church right here, right now. The vision that God has laid upon it is something big. It's something that is shared. What do I mean by that? Because as I have prayed about it, as I have wrestled with details, I guess if you want to call that, I have received confirmation after confirmation after confirmation from people in this congregation of coming up and saying, "Pastor, I really feel like God is leading us this way." And in response to many of them, I said, "Wait for September. Wait for September. Because what you're speaking to me is a word of confirmation." Multiple people have come up to me and said, "I just feel like this." And what's crazy is that these people weren't talking among themselves, but coming to me independently. September is here. And it's time to talk about it. It's something big, this vision. It's something shared and something that I believe is needed. And it will require the full dependency, our full dependency upon God. Why? Because I believe the vision is going to stretch us. It's going to move us. But we will see God do a new thing in the heartland. Amen. Why do we need vision? Why do we need vision? Vision helps us to know where we are going as a church. It helps us to stay focused. It helps us to stay on target. Every time I hear that, I think of Star Wars, "Stay on target." Anybody, sorry. That's, yeah, there you go. Thank you. Thank you. It helps us to stay on target, to work toward a Spirit-inspired goal that is beyond, and this is important, that is beyond anything that we could do on our own. If it's something that you and I can achieve with the resources that we have, then I don't believe it came from God. Why? Because if it comes from God, it's going to stretch us. It's going to require that we look to God and say, "Okay, we can't do this without you." And He'd say, "You're right. Lean on me, and we'll get this done." Proverbs gives a clear warning that I want to look at very quickly of what can happen if there is no vision. In verses 29, or chapter 29, beginning in verse 18, he says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Where there is no vision, the people perish. I'm sure we've heard this passage before, but I want to look at how the message paraphrase brings it to us today. It says this: if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what He reveals, they are most blessed. I want to read that again. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what He reveals, they are most blessed. Amen. You see, church, where there is no vision, there is no direction. There is no focus, and people stumble. Why? Because they can't see what God is doing. They can't see His revelation, His plan, or His love. Again, look at the King James Version. It says, "He that keepeth His law." His law was revealing. His law spoke of His love. His law spoke of His love. How so, Pastor? Because God commanded, set this covenant up with His people to steer them away from sin. Why? Because He did not want to see His people perish. It was an act of love. His love, this law, it was his, it was a, It was a roadmap to deliverance. His law steered people away from sin, and without the proper vision in place in that day, it could be said that they would stray from what the Lord wanted to do in their lives. And the same can apply to us today. If we don't have vision, if we don't have clear direction of where God is leading us to go, we stumble. We just kind of aimlessly walk about. And in the next few weeks, we are going to confront that very challenge. We're going to look at and be talking about what the vision that God has for this church. We're going to be talking about the need to reach families. We're going to be talking about the need to reach the community. What do you believe God wants to do in this area? As I wrote this deal, I put in big, bold letters. He wants to save the world. Amen. And he sent his son, church, to pave the way. And now he sends his church to spread the message. And he gives his church vision through his word, through his heart, and through his example that is Jesus Christ. We're going to be talking about what that vision is. Next week, I implore you, I encourage you, do everything you can possibly do to be at church next week. I'm going to have a friend of mine by the name of Lance Nelson. Pastor Lance works at Compact Children's Home down in Hot Springs, Arkansas. I became acquainted with Pastor Lance through my master's studies at AGTS in Springfield, and over the last couple of years, I've heard his heart, I've heard what he is working on, doing some incredible things in the area of foster families, adoption, all kinds of amazing things. Compact Children's Home in Springfield Hot Springs used to be known as Hillcrest Children's Home. It was an orphanage with the Assemblies of God. It is now a group home, a group foster home, that is, again, affiliated with the AG. They, in the state of Arkansas, now have the power to place children into foster families. They are doing a fantastic work for families in the state of Arkansas. And he began to share with me several months back. Actually, I would say it was probably more like a year and a half ago, some statistics and some things that just troubled me regarding families and regarding the state of our nation. And I looked at Lance, I said, every church needs to hear this. I warn you in advance. I asked Pastor Lance, I said, I want you to bring it on Sunday. Unapologetically, I want you to deliver the challenge to this church because we need to be made aware of the need that is across the street, that is across the backyard, that is in these homes that we have just basically kind of brushed off and said, well, the government has the answer for that. You know what? According to the gospel, the government was never supposed to be the answer. It was supposed to be the church. Amen. True religion is what? To look after orphans and widows. Man, I'm glad we know that. Do not miss next Sunday. Do whatever you got to do. Mark it on your calendar. Block that time. I hope you do that every Sunday, but I'm telling you, don't miss Pastor Lance next week. It will be a message that will challenge you, but I also believe it's in a message that is going to encourage us to get out there and to reach out to families in our communities. So be here. Don't miss out, as I believe that families is going to be a big part of our vision as a church. So where is the Lord taking us? Well, first I want to take a quick look at where we have been. As you've noticed on the stage, there are a couple of maps that have been created. First off, I want to say a huge thank you to Pastor Carly and to Pastor Sarah for constructing these maps and doing a wonderful job in data collection so that we can have these two visuals before us. These maps are going to be present throughout the month of September. They're going to either be on the stage or they'll be in the foyer. I want you to familiarize yourself with these maps. I want you to see what is on these, because the information is on these maps is what God has been doing. These maps are created so that we could see our influence as a church. I once had a professor in my AGTS studies ask me a pretty challenging question. He said this: if your church closed its doors today, would your community, or in this context, would your communities feel an impact? Would they miss you? And I remember sitting back in my seat and I looked at him and said, I hope so. What was he trying to get across? He was trying to tell this this college student, look, if you're not actively engaging the needs of your community, then you are missing opportunity that God has laid before you. Amen. These maps represent the influence of HWC as of today. And I can honestly say to that question, a response to that question, I would say, yes, sir, I do believe the Heartland would miss HWC if we closed our doors tomorrow. Amen. These maps will show you why here in just a moment. I want you to take a look at the global map, which is here to my left, and I think we have that able to put on the slide here. It kind of gives you an idea of what's on there, and I would again encourage you to come and to look at this a little bit closer. This map details the missionaries that we support around the globe. These people have answered the call to go where God has led them to go. We support these men and women financially. We give because we believe in one, who they are, and two, what they are doing. The work that these folks are doing around the world in some of these areas is truly revolutionary. Missionaries who are going into some of the darkest areas of the world. Just a moment ago, Pastor Sarah was speaking of a family to whom we cannot tell you of their location. Because if it gets out there where they are, their very lives could be threatened because of the work that they are doing. That's their reality, but they're willing to go. They're willing to serve. Why? Because they believe in the message. Amen. They believe in what God is wanting to do. Secondly, we support them with prayer. I encourage you, pray for our missionaries daily, that God would protect them and that God would give them wide open doors in their area of ministry. We are reaching around the world through missionaries, and I believe that God has more in store. This is a great representation. All of these pictures that are on here represent people that are in strategic areas of our world to spread the gospel. Some of them leading ministry teams. Some of them leading ministry organizations, Bible colleges, hospitals, you name it. God is doing a new thing. But I believe God has more in store. Amen. Through our missionaries. This is our global influence as a church, and I am thankful for that influence that is in existence. Next, I want you to turn over here to your right, and this is a local map, and you can see the cluster of pins that is pretty well right in the center of the map. We've got a Kansas-Nebraska map here, and then you see this cluster right here, and it's impossible. Pastor Carly at Chemistry goes, do you really want me to try to put as many pins on that map as we have connections with? Because it just wasn't a possibility. So it's more of a representation of what God has been doing here in the heartland. There's no way that we could have put all the pins needed on this map, but you can see the concentrated influence in the heartland. And I want to talk about some statistics very quickly from what I call the core four communities of which we serve. And there are other communities, but these are our four that I want to bring to us this morning. In the town of Egra, which is just a couple of miles here to our east, we are connected to 20 families, 49 souls in Egra. In Kerwin, we are connected with 14 families, 42 souls in Kerwin. In Kensington, we are connected with 50 families, 133 souls in Kensington. In Phillipsburg, we are connected with 110 families, 265 souls today. Today. These records were not transferred into a database. These are records that we have collected since January this year. This doesn't do it justice. Are you following me? Do the math. There's a key on the side, and there's other communities that are listed on there. 49 souls, Egra. 42 souls, Kerwin. 133 souls in Kensington. 265 souls in Phillipsburg. Those are people we are reaching today. These are souls that God has placed within our reach, church. Connections that exist largely in part because someone had a vision for a bus ministry at HWC. Now the question is, what are we going to do with these connections? Are we going to sit on it and just say, hey, man, that's great? Or are we going to build upon this? This is where we are. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about where God wants to take us. Build on this. Because I believe a great move of God is getting ready to come. A great move of God is already happening. Let me reword that. Amen? Yes. That is a great move of God, but I believe He has more in store. A new thing is on the horizon. But we're not done yet. We've talked about our local influence. We've talked about our global influence. I want to talk to us about our media ministries for just a moment. These online ministries are growing in unbelievable ways. Let's talk about our website, hwcegra.com. In August, our website had 2,447 visitors in 28 days. Since its launch in January, hwcegra.com has been hit with more than 19,000 visitors. 19,000 visitors. In August, on Facebook, we had approximately 3,500 people reached. We averaged 153 viewers per live streamed service. Last week, we did an experiment at Sunday Night Church. We were trying to fix some audio connections and things for our streaming, and I decided, you know what, let's go ahead and broadcast our service this evening. Before I got home from Sunday Night Church last Sunday, we had over 105 views on Sunday Night Church. Where are these viewers located? When you look at these maps and you see the yellow pins, those are media views. If you look at the global map, you're going to see that we have a viewer in England. You're going to see that we have a viewer in Australia. You're going to see that we have a viewer in South Korea. You're going to see that we have a viewer in Nigeria. How are these people coming connected to HWC? I have no idea. But praise God, they're tuning in and they are receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's more. 1 week ago, we launched more online ministry media that has had amazing results. This media works off of basically how people search different things, different topics, be it hope, prayer, you name it. Something that I didn't even know that existed until a week ago, and my buddy helped get this thing set up. Since its launch, we've had 42 people watch various videos that we have up as resources that talk about hope, that talk about prayer, that talk about healing, these type of things. But this one floored me. In 1 week's time, we have had 7 people watch a video that introduces people to the love of Jesus Christ and walks them through a sinner's prayer. We may never see their faces. We may never shake their hand. But praise God that this church has the resources to broadcast the gospel to the far reaches of this world. This is all good. Amen? But God is getting ready to do something new. He's getting ready to do something bigger. We're not about, listen to me, I want to make sure that I'm clarifying something. These numbers, these are the results of statistical research and different things. I don't want to throw numbers out there just as if we're trying to brag about, you know, how many things. No. I don't want to look at numbers as just numbers. These are souls, church. These are families. These are people who are looking for hope, people who are wanting to hear the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And God has already begun to do some things that has absolutely just floored me. Remember what it says in Ephesians 3:20. He is able to do what? Immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine according to His power that is at work within us. Why do I bring that to the table? Because God is already beginning to bring in resources to further expand our ministry influence as a church. Resources like a camera that would otherwise set this church back $45,000 that was donated to us, given to us so that we can expand our online media presence. Here's what's crazy. I'm picking up its brother this next week in Springfield. Another camera being given to us so that we can increase our ministry. As these things have been coming in, I say, God, why would you drop these things in my lap? Now I begin to understand why. And it goes back to what God laid on my heart the moment we visited this church. Before any vote was taken, before any interview had taken place, we met Tim up here, and we walked around the church. We were in the area because my grandmother was sick, and we drove out of town, headed towards Lebanon, and I saw a sign that pointed you to the geographical center of the United States. How many are familiar with this sign? I'm pretty sure most of us in the room are familiar with this sign. And I drove by that sign, and these words just came out of my mouth. It said, the church appears to be in the middle of nowhere, but it's actually at the heart of everything. And I began to see this radiating, I don't know how I even put it in words, this fire of God start at the core, at the heart of our nation, and begin to just spread like wildfire. You see, next year at Vision Month, I believe this map is going to look a little different.
Amen.
How so, Pastor? Because I believe this cluster of pins isn't going to just be isolated here to the center, but I believe we're going to be expanding further out.
Amen.
Are you following me?
Yes.
As the message of the gospel gets further out in the heartland. I believe God is going to do something mighty. I believe we're going to have these maps so full of pins and so full of pictures, you won't be able to see the countries.
Amen.
Because we want to spread the gospel. We want to spread the gospel. We want to spread the gospel. We want people to know the Lord.
Yes.
And that is why we look to God and say, okay, Lord, what is your vision for this church? I believe that God has great things in store. But church, we've got to remain focused. And we must follow His vision. His vision for Heartland Worship Center. This morning, as we get ready to wrap up the message today, we're not done yet. We've got some water baptisms to do here in just a moment. If I could have the worship team return to the stage. And those who are going to be baptized in water, you guys can go ahead and start prepping this morning. There is no better way to start a Vision Month than with the celebrations that are taking place today. Just a moment ago, we celebrated the new life of Barry, a little young man who's going to be raised in the ways of God. And we continue to celebrate today with folks as they embrace new life in Christ through water baptism. And here in just a moment, we are going to rejoice as this public profession of their faith is made. But as we explore what it is that God has for us as a church, I want you to consider what God has in store for you. So far, we've been talking about corporate things. We've been talking about the vision of the church. But I also want you to understand that when Christ was on the cross, He had you in mind.
Amen.
He gave all so that you could live. His vision for you is for you to live life to the full, life more abundantly. Today, God is wanting to reach out to each and every one of us and encourage each and every one of us that, as I've said corporately, the same applies to us individually, that I believe the best days are yet to come.